Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
I tell you what, man, he's a literal titan across the entire media landscape.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity. This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome in to another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. You have made us number one, the biggest podcast in the world. Mikey A, it is draft week, my friend.
Draft week!
Yes, I mean,
the high point for the Jets season.
Every season.
Yes.
And listen, I don't know, like, Lindsay Zarniak was at ESPN for many, many years. Now, she has a podcast, she's doing great work, she married a host from the Today Show, they have a wonderful, beautiful family. Lindsay Zarniak, for me, one of the underrated SportsCenter anchors of all time. Very funny, very clever, very knowledgeable, very comfortable on TV, just polished broadcaster. I don't know if people realize this, what she has done since she left ESPN, in addition to everything else she's doing, Mike, is she has poured herself into the NFL draft. And she has become one of the foremost NFL draft experts that we have in our industry. So we are going to, amongst everything else we're going to talk about with Lindsay, we're going to talk some NFL draft. How about that?
I'm excited. I have so many questions.
You do? Like who the Jets are going to take at number two, right?
No, at 23. We all know who they're taking it to. Who are they going to take at 23? I got my eye on some linemen, some DBs.
Why are you looking at linemen? I'm looking at...
I want her to break it all down.
Okay, but I'm looking at, like, running backs. Why are you looking at linemen? You think the Jets need... you want a lineman to protect the quarterback, the new quarterback that you have, huh?
Yeah.
But they took Becton last year.
I would like for this quarterback.
Yeah, but how about...
I would like for the quarterback
but how about,
not to have the same thing happen to him.
But how about we use the linemen that we took last year to protect last year's quarterback, Sam Darnold, and we use those linemen to protect this year's quarterback? How about that? I mean, what do you think? I mean, that's how normal teams do it, Mike. But we are not normal. All right, well, that's Lindsay Zarniak, who the Jets are taking at number 22.
Stugatz. It's 23, not 22. I just fucking said it.
Oh, 23. Definitely take a lineman. Stupidity! Stugatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. So I'm wondering, the artist and the athlete, Lindsay Zarniak, is with us, and I want to talk to you about the things you miss most about Miami in a second, but you have a weekly podcast, The Artist and the Athlete. Next week, and Miami fans will like this, Jimmy Butler and country singer Kane Brown are going to be on the show. What's the coolest combination you've made so far? Like the coolest athlete-artist combination you've come up with so far?
Okay, so female, oh my God. I would say it was Abby Wambach and Becky G, but also because they're so polar opposite, but we had Alanis Morissette on, and she's like one of my all-time favorites, and she was with Danica Patrick, and they were just in this headspace that was like, I couldn't even understand half the words they were saying, but One of my favorites is Anthony Rizzo and Eddie Vedder, because Eddie Vedder just geeked out in a way that I would never imagine Eddie Vedder would geek out. You know what I mean? His stories he was saying about, like, there was this one night they snuck into Wrigley and it was just...
Whoa.
And the whole time I was just looking at him. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, just sing, just do whatever, you know, just...
Wait, Lindsay, hold on. I want to be clear. Mike, you had the same reaction I had. Are you telling me...
I did too.
Wait, Vedder geeked out on Rizzo? I mean, are you kidding me?
Vedder geeked out on Rizzo in a way that he was so cool. I'm not kidding. Rizzo had to go, and Eddie hung out to just talk baseball. Like, he just wanted to talk baseball. And I had a million other things that I want to know everything. I want to know all the stuff about your songs. I want to know back in the day. I want to know, you know, Chris Cornell and all that shit. And the thing with this is, you know, really, it works when you stick to what the connection is, right? So for him, and the whole reason he was geeking out is because he truly wanted to talk Ernie Banks in baseball. And just, so the stuff they were, and it was fascinating because you realize, oh my God, this is why you are who you are and why you are like so uber successful at what you do, because everything he says just sounds like a beautiful song. And I was like, you know, so he was describing this story about being on John Lester's porch after they clinched the NLCS, and he's playing guitar, singing songs to them, and they're all hanging out. And it's like, you know, you just can't help but be taken right into that scene. And that was the story he told about the night that after that, Theo was like, you want to go to Wrigley? And so he tells the story about sneaking into Wrigley with Theo Epstein, and they're in the outfield. They lay on their backs. It's 3:30 in the morning. They're staring up at the rooftops that surround Wrigley, and they can still hear fans partying and cheering. And I was like, and that's a song I want to hear. Like, I can see, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. It's just,
anyway, so that was really, like, for me, that was the one that I was like, I probably need a shot of tequila before we do this.
So that's a good job out of you, because you realize, like, everyone asks Eddie those questions. And so you had a connection point. You were a conduit to him geeking out over Anthony Rizzo, and you just let it go, right?
I did. Well, yeah, because you got to follow it. But honestly, like, that's a part of it that, like, yeah, when it's over, sometimes it's like, I feel like, okay, I've just, like, given birth to something. But I feel like, shit, did I leave all this stuff on the table? Because there are a million things that I would want to know. But you're right. Like, it's not that interview. It's not the interview and the conversation about his history with Pearl Jam or whatever, you know, not having a father, whatever it is. It's his story about what baseball means to him, and just, like, all, you know, so it was really cool. And it's been quite an
experience. The artist and the athlete. What am I coming on? I mean, I'm not an athlete, but what am I?
Well, no,
you're not an artist.
Talk like you are. You could be my golfer. You be my golfer. Who's your
My artist would actually, it would either be Bob Weir, John Mayer, or Eddie Vedder, incidentally. So
so let's go John Mayer.
Done.
Because John Mayer is from Fairfield, up here in Connecticut. So maybe we could work something
out. Okay. Listen, dream time. No, let's do this. I'll be your professional golfer.
Okay.
And here's why I love Mayer so much. So I'm a big Grateful Dead fan, okay? I love the Grateful Dead, but I would play it around the house, and I have two twin daughters, and they're like, Dad, what the hell is this garbage you're playing all the time? And then Mayer joined the band. And then suddenly the garbage I was playing became really, really cool to them.
You're legit.
Yes.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yes.
I remember he was like the song, the soundtrack for me when I was leaving college, because I was moving to Atlanta, Georgia, and he had that, you know, that song, Why Georgia Why? And I would just, like, blast that in my car down the highway. Yeah, that would be huge. Okay.
What is the song you sing out loud in your car every time? I'm interested. What is the song? Is there a song for Lindsay?
Oh my God, there are a lot. It depends on the day. It probably is... Like, today it was Chainsmokers because I was getting ready for something we're doing. But Taylor Swift, a lot of times. I just love Taylor Swift. I can't hide it. But it's, like, her old school stuff that I like. So, like, when I try to tell myself, maybe you can sing, those are the songs I sing. And then I realize, no, I'm very wrong.
I love it.
What are yours? Who do you sing?
Oh, my. The only two things I listen to are sports radio and the Grateful Dead. And so, you know, any Dead song that comes on, there is no favorite Dead song. I like them all, you know. Maybe Just Breathe from Pearl Jam is what I'll sing out loud in my car. Isn't that great? Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, you were swooning the way I was swooning over Jack Nicklaus the second. You were swooning over Eddie Vedder. I mean,
that's how I felt over also like Alanis, because I was just like, oh my, here's what, this is weird. It's like, and this is why you just said what you said about talking to Jack Nicklaus or whoever, like, you realize how much of a fabric of your youth and your like whatever it is that you follow these people, and then you're around them, and if you're lucky enough to have them be as awesome as you think they are, then it's like, oh my God, like this is bad. And then when they share stuff that you haven't realized, like, I don't know, it's just weird. It's just anyway, it is definitely an aha moment. And
no, totally yeah, it is, and I feel it. You listen, I hope you realize that a very impressive resume, you do realize the most impressive thing on your impressive resume is co-hosting the George Michael Sports Machine, right?
Thank you so much.
You yes. got it. That's that's like legendary type shit right there, Lindsay. I mean, seriously.
I was looking around because somewhere here I've got George's hold on, don't go anywhere. Hold on.
Okay, I'm not going anywhere. This is exciting. She is running around the house right now looking for some George. Mike, do you know the George Michael Sports Machine? Are you familiar with
it? I don't.
That? Okay, all there right. was a time where there was a guy who stood beside like a robot, a machine, he would give you the weekly sports highlights. Yes. Well, Lindsay, describe for Mike, who has no earthly idea what we're talking about, what the George Michael Sports Machine was.
Mike, you're a puppy. That's the problem. You're so all right, so George Michael was in Washington, D.C. That was his base, right? So he was this legendary sportscaster in Washington, D.C., but at the same time, he hosted a show nationally called the George Michael Sports Machine. And it was before ESPN. It was right as that was like sort of a figment of an imagination, right? ESPN. So George would show highlights and he would use this big machine with a big red button. And he would be like, let me take you to Detroit, and he'd push the button. And then you would have highlights that ran, and people had never seen highlights like this.
Right.
So he was a pioneer and he was quirky, but he was like, honestly, he is the best mentor I've ever had. And ironically, wow. when I left Miami, I left because George called me to go work in Washington. And I first turned that job down. And I, because Stu, I didn't want to leave Miami. And I felt like, I'm like, if I go to DC, it's near my home. Like I'm going home and I'm leaving Miami. And in Miami, they were saying, I was doing sports down there, but they were saying to me, okay, well, wait, we want you to stay. You can host this midday talk show. And to me, like that kind of thing sounded amazing. That was like a dream job. But George was like, Zarniak, come up here. You're going to learn everything. I'm going to tell you what you need. You're going to cover the Redskins. You're going to cover the national, you know, it's going to be great. You're going to be a star. I'm going to interview whatever. And, you know, that's how he talked.
Right.
So I kind of got scared away because I had agents and I had other people that were like, if you do this, he will be controlling. He will, you know, you're not going to get these opportunities to do stuff nationally. Like I had just been hired to do a heads up poker tournament for NBC. So this was like exciting. So I'm like, oh yeah. So I turned the job down, and literally the day I did that, the moment I hung up the phone, I was like, oh shit. Like, do you know that book, Stu, called The Princess and the Pea, where she sleeps on the mattresses and they find out she's a princess because there's a pea in the bottom and only princesses know that there's a pea. No, you don't know that story. Sorry.
Yeah, so you're asking me about a book, exactly. Lindsay. I mean,
daughters. I thought you would have read that. Anyway, I really knew. I just knew. Like, I had always really struggled with gut. Like, hey, what's your gut feeling? I don't know, because I see some shiny objects, and I just knew that I was like, oh my God, that was such like he was giving me this entree to come up there. Anyway, long story short, I'm in a car wash waiting outside. And I'm writing on a napkin what I'm going to say to him when I call him back. This is like 3 weeks later. I've got to see if that opportunity still exists. And I actually have a dear friend at my station in Miami who walked me through it and was like, if you want to take this shot at getting that opportunity back, here's what you do. I don't know. He may hang up the phone on you, but he might not. And he didn't. And he was like, well, Zarniak, I've got to see what I can do. And then like a week later, he was like, yep, come on up. Anyway, it was the best experience because he was such a mentor, but he was like, he was gruff. But okay, this, here's what I want to show
you. Yeah, I imagine he never called you Lindsay. It was always Zardiac, right? Yep. In that voice, right? Okay, right. So what do you have? Yeah, Zardiac,
and
come on.
His wife, Pat, was his writer. And we all had this sports office downstairs in the big NBC building where Network was also housed. So it was like this big building. George had the whole bottom floor just for sports. And on Sundays, because it was local going on there, but also like the local sports, but also the sports machine, everyone had to wear a tie. If you were, you know, not a man, then you had to wear just not jeans. And everyone got a game. And you had to be there by 12:30 because at 1 o'clock there was silence and you're all watching your football game or your baseball game and you're charting it. And so this is what I will save until I die. This is the George Michael Sports Machine football charting system.
Oh my God. I am insanely jealous.
I would use this in the station, but also when I was at the then Redskins, now Washington football team games, I would take it in the press box and it's got your special for your time code, your down, your yards to go. Like this was religion. And then you had to turn this in at the end of the game. And he would choose his plays. The editors would choose the plays based off of it. So you had to like highlight it right, mark the close-ups, do all this stuff. And I mean, he had a very extremely specific system.
So the beauty of the show was there was actually people doing work on it. He wasn't just putting things into a machine and it was spitting out highlights. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. There was a little. Yeah.
Mike, Mike, you laugh, but this was like SportsCenter back in the day. I'm not even joking. Like Mike, for a kid from New York or someone in Connecticut to see a Pistons highlight was a big deal back then.
Yeah. And he would do, he would change for the show in the back office. Everybody knew that. So you just didn't look. And he would have it catered for dinner every Sunday. So the same place did it, Wagshaw's. It was really good.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it was fascinating. Anyway, I digress. Sorry. I'm glad you asked me about that because I have not touched this thing in like years.
I'm glad that I asked. I'm glad I asked you about it as well. The Artist and the Athlete Weekly Podcast, Lindsay Zardiac, is with us. The Artist and the Athlete Weekly Podcast, Lindsay Zardiac, is with us. The three things you miss most about Miami are what? Three.
I just miss sunshine mostly. I just mean in general, in any shape or form, because right. In Connecticut, it's very gray.
So just the sun, right?
Okay. I just miss being able to walk outside and stand in the sun for like 5 minutes. Oh, hi, come here. And I miss, what do I miss? I miss going to places like Mansion or Bed.
All right.
Like I'm 20. This is my daughter just came to say hi. She's saying hi. That's
stupid. Hello. Hi. How are you? Okay.
Okay.
Right. Not to, listen, the daughter's on your lap, not too many details about the mansion.
No, but like, you know, just being able to, but that was a different life. That was a different life for me. So, but I miss just the outdoor life, like in the food.
Yeah.
The food is so good. I just miss the vibe. I mean, but honestly, like visually, the thing I miss is going home and driving over the causeway and just the way it looks, like with the lights and stuff. You know, but also the people.
Okay. I always tell people who drive over that causeway, like, oh, it looks so nice. I go, yeah, but wait till you get inside of it. Wait until you get in the belly of South Beach, right by the Clevelander. Okay.
That's true. That's true, right? Because that's where I know. But where was I was in Sunny Isles when I was there. So it was like sort of a way off. But also just being able to go right down to South Beach, man, that was awesome.
Yeah, it's a cool place. It is a cool place.
How often do you get down there?
I go there every day because that's where we do the show from. We do it in the belly. That's where I do it, at the Clevelander Hotel.
Right. So let's just craft a little role for me there.
Oh, done.
And I don't care what I do. I'll just like.
What do you mean? The artist and the athlete is coming over to me. That's what we're going to do. Okay? There you go. Okay.
We'll find a Miami, I guess.
I love it. All right. So that's what you miss most about Miami. Is there a thing you miss most about ESPN?
Being on TV.
Right. Right. Like, right. And those four letters. I got to tell you, I feel naked without the four letters.
Without the what?
Without the four letters, I feel a bit naked at times, you know?
I mean, look, like if we're just being honest, which we are, it's like you're there are times that I'm like, man, especially when certain stuff happens and you're like, oh, I just wish I was like, you know, on TV talking about this, doing what you do, whatever. So it's that, you know, of course, like I miss the people. There's like the people that I work with. closely, you know, because we were like a team on the 6 o'clock show. It's like, obviously, it's kind of like family, you know, you work with the same people day in, day out. So I do miss that. I definitely miss getting my hair and makeup done. I was like, just look presentable. No, and I'm serious, but I do like the interacting with different people. Like, I remember when you guys would come on the show at Sick. It was like such a feat when we could get you, because you guys were such a pain in the ass about who you would talk to. And it was like, yes. And it was like that stuff like that, where you're just having fun. And, you know, I think that's the main thing. It's like, you realize that, okay, so to do what you do, you got to figure out where you're going to do it, you know? So that's, how about you? I don't know. Do you?
What do I miss most about ESPN? The cafeteria, Greeny.
Being a pain in the ass to everybody.
Yeah, being a pain in the ass to everyone. Yes. Scott Van Pelt.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Just the shiny really, really just the four letters. The four letters are they're very powerful. We enjoyed our time there. You enjoyed your time there. Dan and I enjoyed our time. It's a great place to work. We'll get you out of here in just a few minutes. Tell me... what's going on? You have a you're hosting a new CBS Saturday Night Primetime Racing Series, SRX, that's premiering in June. What's going on there?
Okay, so this is Tony Stewart, the driver, has created with Ray Evernham, legendary team owner, and Sandy Montag, who's an agent in our business. They've created SRX, which is a racing show. So it's going to be live every Saturday night, short tracks, and it is legends, like Hall of Famers in different walks of racing against each other, who in cars that are exactly the same. So it's going to be dirt tracks and asphalt, but they're short track, which I'm so pumped about, because that is so much fun, especially like on a Saturday night. And we're going to all different tracks around the country for 6 weeks. So it's going to be on CBS. You can see it in prime time, and I'm hosting. So I'm super pumped. And it's different analysts and some like celebrity analysts that are jumping in.
All right,
from time to time. All right. It'll be really cool.
Very cool. So check that out, and make sure you listen to the weekly podcast, The Artist and the Athlete. Before we get you out of here, you are a legend on Instagram for your comedy.
Hey, wait a minute. Before I forget, you just had Stink on your podcast. First of all, I love your podcast, and I really love the artwork. I just want to say, that's my favorite.
What, the picture of me on a toilet?
I just do. Like, I love the yellow behind it. I just think it's hilarious.
Man, I have hats and stickers. You want me to mail you a few? I mean,
yes.
Fun. Okay.
You mail me something, and I'll mail you something. And also, Stink is, you know, he was on my broadcast team for NFL, for with Fox. Yep. He was my analyst, and he is just amazing. That guy.
Yes.
Like, listening to him talk. I don't know, like, he doesn't sleep. I don't know how he does everything.
He's an animal.
He's so smart. But, like, he'll be the guy you're talking at dinner. Like, first of all, some of his stories, like, I would almost be peeing myself, because we would be getting ready to go to dinner, and he would share some story about when he was with a team and, like, a practical joke he pulled, which I can't even repeat that stuff. I know.
Get him to tell you the Kevin Costner story.
I did. Oh, that's
okay. All right. Stu doesn't know it. We're going to have him tell next time it comes on.
Yes.
It's one of my favorites.
Yes. Yes. Wait, Lindsay, you know the Costner story? You know it.
Okay. Oh, that's what I'm saying. The Costner story, and there's a thermometer story.
Okay. Mike, write that down.
I was with him when we had Kevin Costner on the show in the first time after, and Kevin remembered him, and it was so awkward. I have pictures of it. I'll have to send you a picture of Kevin Costner looking at Mark's side eye.
All right, but don't ruin the story, okay?
Oh, my God. Yeah, you got it. Oh, my God.
In fact, I think when we have Stink on, we'll have you on, so you guys can see my reaction to this story, legendary story, okay?
Please, I have to see that, because the other thing is, when he told that story, we were in a bar getting ready to go out to dinner, our whole crew, and everyone's kind of like looking at me because I'm the only woman there. You know what I mean? And it's like, so it's just hilarious. I love that he's just so real. Oh my God. The thermometer story is even better, I think.
So Mike tells me you're going to bring your legendary Instagram comedy set to Stupidity here and tell us some really bad jokes.
Really bad. Well, it depends. I mean, certain age groups wouldn't find these bad, but that's fine. But maybe they do.
All right.
Are you ready?
All right. So Lindsay is actually, okay. You want me to read them, or are you going to,
you're going to read them. I'm going to make this super fast. So the deal was, my kids, you know, I had to start homeschooling, and because of the pandemic, and they, you know, kids are like athletes. They were onto routine. So I would write out their whole like day. Okay. You know, I would say like, okay, morning message, jokes. And I started incorporating jokes. So I would do three jokes a day and then give it to them. So that's what we did. So I have a whole closet that's full of jokes like this. So I just chose a few of my favorite for you.
Okay. All right. So I'll read them out. What noise does a plane bouncing on a trampoline make? Mike, you want to guess the answer?
I'm afraid to. Boy.
Boing, boing, boy, boing, boing, boing. Very good. I love that you actually did work and wrote these down. This is fantastic.
Oh, these are the ones that were on Instagram. These are the originals.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
I think nothing. Oh, yeah. That's
I was confused.
All right, I'm going to throw a tomato at you. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, do it. All right,
you told a punchline first. Okay. How do tacos say grace? I love this. Let us pray.
That one kind of falls flat. Okay, this is one of my favorites. Okay.
No, it I'll doesn't. Okay. I just want to remind the audience, she has written this down on paper with a black Sharpie, and it is unbelievable. Why did the tomato turn red? Because it saw the salad dressing. I got it. Didn't sell it correctly. You're right. That's why you should be telling the punchlines. You want to have your daughter read one?
Yeah. Well, she can't read yet, but she can be. Okay, Sydney, wait. Let's see. Do you know your joke? You have a favorite one? What is it? Yeah, come here. Oh, yeah. That's it.
This is the greatest.
What is it?
So okay, cute. What?
Okay, say it loud. Say it loud. Ask the question. What was the snake's favorite subject in school? Do you remember the answer? Say it really loud. Ready? Say it with me. One, two, three. History.
Excellent delivery by the daughter.
My son is the one that like really loves these, and he started to make some up. But I will send you. You send me. What are you sending me?
What am I sending you? I forgot. Oh yeah, I'm sending you stupid. I'm sending you pictures of me sitting on the toilet. You send me some jokes, okay?
Daughter's like, what's going on?
Oh god,
so I'm gonna send you jokes because I have joke packages. So.
All right, done. So you send me jokes, and I will send you pictures of me on the toilet. Check out the podcast, The Artist and the Athlete. She'll also be hosting CBS's new Saturday night primetime racing series, SRX, premiering in June. Lindsay, you have a couple of pictures of me sitting on a toilet headed your way. Yeah. I have some jokes headed my way, and me and John Mayer on the podcast. How about that?
Perfect. Breaking
yes.
Up. We're going to
yes.
Rock it. Yes.
And I'm going to bring you into this umbrella over here. Come down here and have fun, okay?
Please, I will. Oh, my God, I'm dying to. Yes, one more. All right, so good to
okay,
see you.
Thank you so Thanks. Much. Good luck with everything. We'll be in touch, okay?
You too. Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Mike, how about that? That was a lot of fun, man. Artist and the Athlete. I'm going to bring that under my umbrella as long as she gets me on with John Mayer. How about that? I mean, if she gets me and Mayer on together, I'll bring that thing under my umbrella and give her, you know, a little stupidity rub, if you know what I'm saying, Mike, you know?
Yeah,
you know.
I feel like there's something we forgot to ask her. Something we talked about asking her.
Who the Jets would take at 22?
It's 23.
Stupidity. Draft coverage. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't. The great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.